Homily for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time, St. Mary's Church, Grand Forks, September 18th, 2022. Mammon. That's an old-fashioned word, but its meaning is clear. The category of mammon includes all those earthly goodies that, although they provide momentary comfort and happiness, we cannot take with us beyond this life. How we regard mammon is at the heart of God's messages through the prophet Amos. And since I don't get the chance to say this very often, let's concentrate on Amos today. Amos's story is a fascinating one. Amos was an upright, God-fearing man, but not in a million years did he expect to live a vocation in service to God as a prophet. Amos was a farmer and very content with his life. God called him to leave his native southern province of Judea and travel to the wealthier north of Israel. We get the sense that he was reluctant to do so, but Amos obeyed. He reasoned, "If this is God's true plan, God will pour out upon me the grace that I need to see it through." As he began prophesying, most of the people reacted to him with a twofold message: "Knock it off," and "go back where you came from." In one famous exchange, Amos told a religious official, "Do you think I hatched this idea on my own? Don't you think there's something else I'd much rather be doing? I'm here because God sent me to you, plain and simple. One way or another, he'll get his message across." Today's message from Amos railed against fraudulent business behavior and unfair treatment of the poor. The villains whom he called out manipulated measurements in order to gain more money for selling less product. They saw religious observances like the Sabbath not as days of rest and worshiping God, but as roadblocks that stand in the way of greedy enterprise. Many of us may experience frustration about certain modern-day industries. There may be something we need to buy for which we pay through the nose. My personal pet peeve has been the cost of ink cartridges for printers. We have a hunch that someone, somewhere, is swindling us. While this predicament is irritating to us, what makes it all the more serious is that Jesus chose to identify with the poor of the world, those who lack the means to challenge the system. Therefore, injustices done to the least of our brothers and sisters are done in a real way to Christ. Amos foreshadows this in criticizing the greed of the leading merchants of his day. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Our Lord's words are not so much a threat as they are a statement of fact. It's no different than saying that you cannot both walk east and west at the same time. The funny thing about mammon is that it tries to do what only God can do, demand absolute loyalty. It's impossible to be a slave equally to both. Serving the one true God on Sunday and serving a false God on Monday is a spiritual illness, a sort of split personality syndrome. It never works out in the end. Jesus demonstrated his point with a peculiar parable, in which a boss does not fire his rogue assistant, but rewards him for his shady dealings. Many scripture scholars believe that the assistant was not reducing the debts of his boss's clients, per se, but removing the exorbitant interest he was charging, so that they would only owe the original principal. He ingratiated himself with the debtors, and the boss didn't appear quite so ruthless. In any event, we can boil down the moral of the story to this: the children of this world hustle and get after it when their interests are on the line. Do the children of light act in the same way? How much more precious is the treasure that we possess? All the grain bins of wheat and all the tanks of olive oil in the world do not compare to the eternal salvation of one soul. Jesus leaves the term of discipleship unqualified so that no lesser loyalty may even gain an inch of ground. Time and time again, we need to take a hard look at what holds mastery over our lives. With everything that falls under mammon, we are only stewards. What we earn and what we purchase, we have for a short time, and then it will belong to another. The old saying goes that God is the world's only true capitalist. However, we do have something that is our property long after we die, a prize that will never rust or decay. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters, Jesus tells us, is also trustworthy in great ones. But what makes greatness? Not the size of one's means, but the nobility of the end. A liar is not great, even though he or she may occupy a throne. But a person committed to the truth is great, even though he or she may be wearing rags. What makes greatness? Not the size of the means, but the intensity of the need to which it ministers. A lantern in the harbor may be small, but the light that one aboard ship sees shining at nighttime is necessary. A cup of cold water may be small, but not to the person dying of thirst in the desert. The gift of faith is great indeed, although it may not seem showy or grandiose. Do not doubt that you have been given a great gift. And remember that our gifts are never separated from responsibility. Do we tend to bury our talents in the ground, or do we invest them? This weekend we have Catechetical Sunday, and our religious education year is just beginning. This is a critical work in our parish, and it is possible because of the willingness of many volunteers to share their gifts, some of whom have done so for many years already. I'm going to ask you to take a look with me at the big picture. We at St. Mary's are proud of our young people. Not just our own kids, but their friends and our relatives too. And we are excited about the life to which God is calling them and all the blessings that are in store for them. We are free to share the supreme gift of our Catholic faith to all who wish to receive it. Now imagine for a moment that an external force, such as the government, outlawed religious programs for all Christian churches or regulated them so that we could only say what they would have us say. Instruction and perhaps even sacraments would happen secretly among small groups in rooms that are dark except for candlelight playing off the walls. Sounds far-fetched, right? That was the way of life for most Christians 1800 years ago. Look up for yourselves the kind of persecutions that took the lives of martyrs like the apostles. What they would have given for the openness and tranquility in which we can proclaim and celebrate our faith in Jesus. Each generation faces its own challenges, to be sure, but it's helpful to keep things in perspective. God is the giver of all good gifts. God wants a religious ed program in which the flame of faith entrusted in all our hearts will burn more brightly. I am asking for more people to serve as catechists, not merely to cover the bases, but to invite us to share our gifts. So you're a small lantern atop a lighthouse. So you're a small cup of water. So what? Who in this parish is any different? God calls all of us to greatness because His gifts are so great. Everyone, above all, I ask you to pray for our young people and for their catechists. Ask the Holy Spirit for the people we need to come forward and help us. You can reach out to our DRE, Jennifer Fetch, with any questions. It's not that we don't have our bases covered, but we can always use the extra help. Pray for the courage to say, "I'll give it a try," or for those who have helped us in the past, "I'll come back again." Don't only think of what you are asked to give or to give up. Think of the privilege you have of returning your gifts to God. Think of all that you can gain. Amen.